This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In the country of Jordan, people often say they're trapped between two fires, Israeli-Palestinian violence on the western border, the chaos in Iraq to the east. The U.S. role in the region is regarded negatively by many. More than 60% of the population is of Palestinian origin and critical of U.S. policy that they say only supports Israel. And the effects of the war in Iraq are deeply felt in Jordan. Thousands of Iraqis have sought exile there. A Jordanian businessman remains a hostage in Iraq, and 30 truck drivers have been killed on the highway to Baghdad. Another driver was threatened with beheading. NPR's Deborah Amos has more on Jordan in the second part of her series on Iraq's neighbors.
For years, the only land route into Baghdad was the 700-mile Amman-Baghdad highway. These truckers at Union headquarters in Amman did the driving. Money was good under Saddam, even better after the war. 1,500 truckers made the 18-hour drive every day. Now most of these men say they won't go back, unwilling to risk robberies, kidnappings, or worse, says Abdul Majid El Habazni, head of Jordan's Truckers Association.
The security is very, very bad. About 35 drivers.
Are dead?
Yeah.
300 trucks have been stolen or destroyed. Mohammed Taylor says armed men on the highway stopped him outside of Baghdad. The cargo he was carrying? Beer.
They tied me up, and I saw them putting gasoline on my truck, and they burned it. They said, if you open your mouth, we'll kill you.
A few miles away, more truckers wait with their rigs. They worry, how will they support their families? But despite the danger to their livelihood, they say they are against U.S. soldiers in Iraq. They say they support Iraqis fighting them. It is a reflection of widespread opinion in Jordan. Yet Jordan's government quietly backed the U.S. invasion, shared intelligence, welcomed U.S. soldiers, and now provides training for the new Iraqi army and police. It is a contradiction, acknowledges Adnan Abu Odeh, an ex-government minister and former chief of Jordan's royal court.
The government is doing whatever it is doing, and the people say we are against that, but they don't do anything. They don't act.
Jordanians may be quiet for another reason. Jordan's backing for the war has paid off economically.
We were afraid, really, that we might be big losers. But in fact, Jordan was benefiting from the outcome of the war until now.
A parking lot a few miles north of Amman is called Baghdad Square. Hundreds of Iraqis arrive each day, fueling a real estate boom here, as they hedge their bets on the future by investing in land in Jordan. Since the invasion of Iraq, the Bush administration has rewarded Jordan, tripling military and development aid. Cheap diesel fuel is coming from Saudi Arabia at Washington's urging. Government officials are convinced Jordanians are more concerned with their wallets than their passions about Iraq. The foreign minister, Marwan Mawasher, says that belief is based on government polls.
The first priority for all Jordanians, almost 50% of Jordanians have the economy as their first priority. And Iraq comes in at a distant third, about 9%. So I think we are following the right policy.
But you know that people grumble.
Of course I do. And my job as a government is to make them grumble less.
If Jordanians are grumbling less about Iraq, they have not been quiet about their desire for democratic reforms. Jordan's king holds out the promise of more democracy, but not right now at a time of crisis. It's a mistake, says Mustafa Hamarne, head of Jordan University's Center for Strategic Studies.
This is basically crisis management. Jordan looks around and sees that everybody around them is exploding. Iraq is exploding, Syria is on the verge. The situation is quite difficult politically in Egypt. Nothing is happening in Jordan, so they feel safer, they feel more comfortable, and they feel that their policies ultimately pay off.
Part of that policy is a crackdown on dissent. In a recent poll, 9 out of 10 Jordanians say they cannot criticize the government without reprisals. Adnan Abu Odeh, who spent a career in government, sadly agrees.
That's true. Until now, there are no signs whatsoever to indicate that we are really moving.
Anybody who tells you that there are reforms in Jordan is a liar. Straight in the face, I'll tell him he's a liar. As a matter of fact, we're going backwards.
Laith Shubilat is an outspoken opposition figure, a former member of Jordan's parliament and former head of Jordan's engineers union. On this day, he was advising a family whose son was arrested, accused of speaking against the king. Shubilat is an Islamist. The wealthy engineer is far from radical. But in Jordan, when the government feels threatened, no critic is tolerated. In 1998, he was jailed for urging demonstrations against U.S. air attacks in Iraq. More recently, he was one of 150 Jordanians who signed a protest letter over King Abdullah's suggestion that Jordanian troops might go to Iraq to help the U.S. military.
The people of Jordan refuse this, and it's unconstitutional because our army is only to defend our country. This is the constitution.
He was immediately summoned by the governor of Amman.
Policemen. They came to drag me to the governor because I said, no, I'll come tomorrow.
For Shubilat, the summons led to a verbal dressing down. But he knows for others, a knock on the door at night can lead to a jail sentence. That is what happened to another former parliament member when she published a website article charging government ministers with corruption.
We complain. Why don't you talk to us? If you want to reform, we are reformists. Why don't you talk to us? Now, what's the meaning of going to dignitaries of this country at 1 o'clock at night, taking them to prison? They want to humiliate people. They want to tell them, look, anybody who raises his head, that's what's going to happen to him.
As the government works to quiet the established opposition, other channels of dissent are opening up, including in Jordan's usually moderate mosques. Last month, 38 Islamist political leaders, clerics, and other activists were arrested for preaching against Jordan's diplomatic relations with Israel and the close alliance with the United States.
America is more hated today than it was ever in the region.
The findings in a recent poll, says Mustafa Hamarne. The anger is not only about Iraq, he says. For Jordanians, it is the failure of the Bush administration to address the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, a far more crucial issue.
Ultimately, Iraq will be solved. The Americas are not there to stay. The critical issue concerning Arab-American relations is the Arab-Israeli conflict, in my view.
And nowhere in Jordan is anti-American sentiment closer to the surface than the sprawling Palestinian refugee camps. These are crowded reminders of the war in 1948 and the loss of the West Bank in 1967. Now, that anger has spread across Jordan's political spectrum. Jordanians see the king's close relationship with the United States producing temporary economic rewards, but no steps to resolve the Palestinian crisis and no moves to bring them a long-delayed free and open government. Again, Adnan Abu Odeh.
People are watching very closely and talking about it. What are you doing? You have to do something. You cannot fool them. You have to do something.
The question asked in Jordan is when. Deborah Amos, NPR News.
You can see photos from Jordan and listen to the first story in this series at our website, npr.org.